The question that we want to ask is, in the sugya that we started, which we never really got a chance to finish, which was Psule Edus, we wanted to know about a Karov Li Edus. And the question is whether Karov is possible, because the Torah says a Karov is possible, or Yumsu Avos Al Bonim, the Gemara derives it, or perhaps is it a psul of Nogeya B'Edus, which might mean that since a Karov is considered like one with his Karov, then he's testifying almost as if about himself. Adam Karov Eitzalat. So we take a look at this Gemara here on Chav Ches Amid Beis. That's the sugya of Krovim. And in that sugya, the Gemara has a suffek about whether a person can testify about Eishes Chargos, kind of a stepmother. And the Rashi writes that the testimony was about Nichsei Melug Shela Behashpata Im Adam Minashuk. So she is in a legal, shall we say, some sort of a claim and what do you say?
A wrangle,
it's called a wrangle with a legal wrangle with somebody else, right? Ubinashay Shar Krovim Lo Iboilahu. Rashi wants to know, why is this not a question about other Krovim, that let's say my sister-in-law, my mother-in-law, other Krovim? Lo Iboilahu. Why Kaven Dibineam Psulim Lo Fahulahem Posel is Aflin Noshim Lefi Lefisha Bonim Ruim Lirash es Iman Aval Chorgo Tibino kosher mi boilon biishto. So basically, what we understand so far is that with regard to other possibilities of Yerusha, then the Yerusha could be relevant. But here, there's no royal Yerusha. Chargo tibino kosher mi boilon ishto. So let's see if we can get, as we go along, we'll try to get a little bit of a hold on this. He said, "Hine amachne Ephraim b'ilchus edus hochiach midivei Rashi dekarov linogeh b'edus kosher." Ah, I see what's happening. There's something called a karov to a nogeh b'edus. In other words, let's say this person, I'm a nogeh b'edus as far as this person is concerned. What about his relatives? Can I testify for the relatives of Nogeya B'Edus? Again, you and I would have said, what difference may? Why should I be possible to testify in a case of a Karov L'Nogeya B'Edus? I'm not Nogeya B'Edus as far as he's concerned, and he's not my Karov. Tov Gemara Masik de psul lahoyed mitam isha kebaila. That when it comes to a case of somebody who's married to my relative, then her status is equal to that of her husband. And if I'm a karov to that woman's husband, therefore, ipso facto, I'm a karov to that married partner to the wife of that karov. Aval I love high time with the ishto kebaila, havi kosher lehoidla. He would be kosher to testify against her or for her. Afal pisha beidusay motile hano lechargo benichse malug shal ishto. So let me read to you what it says over here on the top line of Chav Ches Amid Beis. Nil, I think, will be more oriented here. He says, "Boy mi ne mau sheyoid adam beishes chargo." Rashi says, "Al nichse malug shela bashpata im adam min ashuk." That's what we saw before, but maybe now we can see it inside and get a little bit more of a grasp on it. So this is the wife of Ben Ishto. So in other words, he's married to a woman who was married previously, and she has a son from her first marriage. So that son is considered a stepson, right? Because his mother is married to this person, and that person is his stepfather. Oh, so now we have to understand that if a person is possible to his stepson, what about his stepson's wife? Shenichse malug sheberchusa shayachim la velo lebal dina. So what's going on here in this case? She has nichse malug, and nichse malug is something that is in her rishus. Notice, he just gets the payros from it, but the actual keren is in her rishus. And therefore, if she's married to his stepson, the lola baldina. What does that mean, Valola Baldina? I mean, what was the Havan? I mean, what is her Baldin? What is this Baldin suing her for? Do we know? El Bashpota im Oda Minashuk. Benishek Shar Klovim Rashi says, Loi Boy Lahuda came into Bneim Psulim Lo, the Hulahem, Possel Aflin is Shehem. Aval Chorgo de Beno Kosher, Mi Boylon Beishto. So what does that mean? Chargo libno kosher. Let's just see. This is probably on the other side of the daf here. Just see. Daf sim luchsim shalu. Again, Rashi makes a big deal about the fact that with regard to other psulim, it goes both directions. So once it goes both directions, then we're going to apply the principle Bal ki ishto. And now we're talking about Bneim Psulim Lo, Vehulas Lahem Posel. That's as far as Shar Krovim is concerned. Af Linoshim. And therefore, if there's a two-way Psul that Noshim included, Lefisha Bonim Ruim Lirshas Ima. So the Ben could be Yoresh's mother. Avol Chargo Dibno Kosher. Ah. So it's only a one way street. In other words, he cannot testify with regard to his stepson, but the stepson could testify on his stepfather. Let's just see if I can. I'm sorry, I apologize. Are you able to bear with me? I mean, we could drop this, but once we started it, let's see if we can get anything out of it. I'm just going to try to get a little bit of the orientation. I think once we get started, you can look over the Mach Nefratim in the meantime and see if you could figure it out. So now, Chargo is what? Chargo. So again, Chargo is Ben Ishto, Mi Baila Acher. So let's take a look at Chargo. Chav Zayin. Chargo is back on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Do you have a Gemara, Steve? Oh, you gave it away? Okay, so Mitch, you have a Gemara? Let's see if you can find on Chav Zayin Amud Beis Chargo. So we get a little bit more of the background here. Chav Zayin Amud Beis. There should be something about Chargo here. Just one second. Dodo ben Dodo. So what do we have here? Something fine. That we did already. So that part we did. I'm just trying to find Chargo. Okay, so right now I'm looking but not finding Chargo. It should be on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Chargo. I'm not finding it. That's too bad. But we'll try this and.
Here it's
oh, you found it?
It's an edition that says.
Okay.
Aval Yimo Chaliv Giso Haim Benayim Hasnehem Vachorgo Levado.
Okay, that's good. Okay, great. The Chargo, again, is Ben Ishto Bishacher, Posel Lahoidlo Levado. Ah, in other words, the psul is only on the son. But as far as the children of his stepson, well, for example, as we always said, the son-in-law is like the daughter, right? Is then eino nifsal lahoidlo. He's not possible. And let's just see if we know why that's so. Okay, I'm not sure why that's so. There's a long discussion about this here. But let's see if we can just get some discussion here about Rashi. Eishes chargo, bibola hoyd al nichse melukshala, bihishafta, im adam in ashuk. So Rashi tries to explain why the question of Rav was not on all Nishay Krovim. And Rashi says, "Ubnishay Shar Krovim lo yiboilehu." If there's a problem, why the cave into Bnei'em, the children of those women, Apsulim lo vahulahem, is vade posel aflid noshim. Ah. So if you have someone who's posel and his children are also posel, then his wife is posel. It's like a circle, a family circle. And the Isha is included in the family circle. So if, let's say, so-and-so is posel to me, then if his children are posel to me, then his wife is posel to me. L'fisha bonim re'uyim lirash es imam. So if he's apostle to me, then his children apostle, Avol Chorgo, Dibno Kosher, right? The halacha we saw in the Mishnah is that the ben of the Chorgo is what? Is Kosher. So then we don't have this circle necessarily. So the suffix here is about Ishto. So again, with regard to every other korov, that I'm posel not only to him, but also to his children, then I'm certainly posel to his wife. And that's called in Rashi's language, Nishay Shakov Loi Boilahu, came into Bnei'em Psulim. Is therefore Vada, he's posel even to his Shehem. And he gives an explanation here about that Abanim Ru'im Lireshes Iman, that I have to work out. But Chargo, where the halacha is that libno kosher, then we want to know about Ishto. Let's just see if he clarifies this. He says, Dafka b'nichse melug shaluhu. Tahainu nechosim sheha isha mevia lebeis baila kishen niseis. Right, so she has money, possessions that she brought into the marriage. V'dinam shaguf Nishar Bershusa Vabal Ochos Perosehem is Kamen She'ein Nechshav Shemeid Lechargo Ki Haguf Shelah. So somebody is claiming Hanachasim and he's not testifying on Chargo, Ein Nechshav Shemeid Lechargo. Ah, well, Nixay Tzom Brad, so Shishamach Nisal Brad, Sheguf Shelah. The Gama Peros, Ein Makom Listapik Yib Yochel Lahoid La Al Nechasim Ha'elu Kevin Shenechshav Shemeid Lechargo. He's testifying Lechargo because he will inherit his mother. So, and what about Nichsei Malug? What's the suffix about Nichsei Malug? Shanim Shel Chargo Hu Pasul Eidus. So I'm not sure here why is he able to testify here about, according to one side more about Nichsei Malug, is for some reason the Chargo does not inherit Nichsei Malug. Not sure why that is so. So the Baal eats the pears, but I don't know why that should undermine the Yerusha. So, Nachman, let me just go over this one more time. Bo mine mau she yoid odom the eshes chorgo. The eshes chorgo, correct? So what does Rashi say? That is an odom kosher lahoid li eshes chorgo. So he can't be made on chorgo. For example, nichsei tzom barza, because nichsei tzom barza belonged to his stepson. So if he's testifying with regard to eshes chorgo, right? To eshes chorgo, in a case of nichsei tzom barza, then he's testifying on his stepson. Why? Because his stepson has a kinyan on Tzon Barzo. Oh, but Nichsei Malug belonged to her. And the question is, would he be allowed to testify in some sort of a dinu dvarim that would be relevant to the Nichsei Malug? They belong exclusively to Eishes ben Chargo, to Eishes Chargo, correct? And therefore he's not testifying on anything that's relevant to Chargo, because Chargo, even though again, after she dies, he inherits her, so I don't know why that's not enough to passel him. He says, "Dafka b'nichsei malug shalu haynu nichosim shavim eishes dinam guf." Right, we said before. And in the case of nichsei malug, is eno nechshav shemeid lechargo ki aguf shalo. Again, he's not worried for some reason about the peir, so maybe that's the other side to say that he's possibly it's aval b'nichsei so barzel, which belong exclusively to her, I'm sorry, to him, she isha machnisa lebaila shaguf shelo, he owns the karka, and he owns the gufa karka, is therefore ein mokam l'stapik im yochel lahoid, if there's a dinut varim on these nechasim, because then he's being made on chargo, and we said that he cannot be made on chargo. Oh, the yesh la hakshos harei gam nichsei malug yesh la baal es haperos. Oh, right. That was my question. Well, that enough should make him into apostle. Is nemar shegam lo yuchal lahoy la? Even though she owns the nichsei malug, but her husband, who is chargo, owns the peros of the nichsei malug. V'od harei moil lo. Very good. After she dies, he'll inherit us. So it's really no get to the chargo. So why does Gemara have it sad to say that he's kosher? He says kosev etosus rush. So chlomer shemedubar shachargo kosev li. Oh wow, kosev li. So didn't dvar maybe the chasai and therefore, as far as chargo is concerned, this edus is irrelevant to him, because he set up this dinu dvarim, l'chein istapku al eishes chargo. So again, as far as the chargo is concerned, he has no shaychus to these nechasim, and he gave up his rights to peros. But is there a psul of eishes chargo? And that's really what the Gemara is asking: Mao sheyoid adam bi eishes chargo. So Rashi says that if he was being made on Nichsei Tzom Barzel, then he's being made on Chargo. But if he's being made on Nechasim that belong to her exclusively, to the exclusion of him, of her husband, meaning Chargo, then you have a different question, and that is, can a person be made on Eishes Chargo when it has no relevance or bearing to Chargo, to his stepson? So in other words, do we take chargo and expand it to eishes chargo? Let's call it ishto kebaila, right? So as far as ben chargo is concerned, the Mishnah is explicit that he can testify ben chargo, right? Mitch, that's what we saw? That he can testify ben chargo? Yeah. But now the Gemara wants to know, the Mishnah didn't say anything about Eishes Chorgo, and in Isha there's a separate halacha of Ishto Kigufo. Now again, what about other Krovim? So Rashi says that in other Krovim, since the ben of that Korv is also included in the Psul, therefore the Isha's in the Ishto. Right? So you have Mr. X, if you follow me. So if the halacha is that I'm a Korv to his son, then I'm a Korv to his wife as well. Again, we don't know why, but that's the mechanics of it. Just to get the facts on the ground. Oh, but in the case of Chargo, I'm not possible to testify to his son, and therefore that halacha that includes the wife whenever the son is included would not apply to Chargo, but maybe I should be possible because of what? Of Ishto Kegufo. However, Rashi points out that it's only the Havamina here would only be if I'm not testifying on my stepson, right? Because Chargo is certainly possible. So if it's Nichsei Tzom Barzel, then insofar as that Chargo owns Nichsei Tzom Barzel, therefore I'm testifying in a Dinu Dvarim, which is relevant to Chargo, and that's possible. But Nichsei Malug is in such a way that he, the husband, has no rights whatsoever. He wrote a shtar of dinu dvarim ein li b'nuchasayach. He was mafkia even his kinyan peros. So then it's just a question of ishto kegufo. Should we possibly be torus ishto kegufo? Now, Rabosai, I'm not going to tell you that we have all the information down, but let's just see, since we started, if we have enough at our fingertips to at least get by the Navon, what's his name, the Machna Fry. So again, after he quotes Rashi, he says, "Hine amachne fray milchus edus hochiach mi divrei Rashi dekarov linogea bi edus kosher." Okay, this is complicated. We're talking about a karov to a nogea bi edus, and now we're going to prove it from our Rashi here that we just spent a little time trying to understand. So he says the ha gemara masik the posul lahoid oh mitam ishto kebailo. That's good news. At least we were a little bit on the right track here. Aval ilav haytam. If you didn't apply this rule of ishto kebailo, hoyakosha lahoid lo. The afal gav did be a do so moti le hanol chorgo. So he's not learning like the Tosa Rosh that he set up a shtar of dinu dvarim ein li b'nechasayach. Right, that was the Tosa Rosh. Let me just read it one more time. Kosav Tosa Rosh. It's Sarchom Shemedubar Shechargo Kosav Liishto dinu dvarim ein li b'nechasayach lo b'chayech v'lo b'mosek. And therefore, ain't lo negia be edus. So this edus is not negia to chargo, to the husband. V'lachain istapgol eishes chargo, since he can't testify on the chargo, he cannot test ulam hameiri. Oh, hameiri b'chidushe ramban kosvu shemeduber shebol hoy lo al nechasim she'ein labala klaus kusa. So he's also on the same page as the Tosa Rosh. Od kosev the Tosa Rosh and meduba shemeid al eishes chorva shehayevus malchus al misa ve'en bozeh inyan lebailo. Okay. So again, what's going on here? The Gemara is going to say that if there's a psul here of eishes chorgo, it's only because of ishto kebailo. And he's asking, but why not pasul eishes chargo midin nogea? Correct that since this edus is nogea to the chargo, and why is that? Because he eats peros from nixei malug. Afilu ochi kevan delav achurgo meid kosher. Ooh, that has to be underlined. Now I'm not sure if this is the Machna Ephraim or he's quoting somebody else. But can I borrow a pencil or a pen from someone? Because my pen just died on me. and I think we have to underline the key words here. He writes, Afilu Hachi, I think my pen was in better shape than this one. No, maybe if I keep writing it, it'll scratch it. All right. We're in a dearth of pens here. If you take old pens, they don't... Oh, this one actually writes. Excellent. He says, if you can underline these words, let's see if we can analyze them. Keva delav achurgo made kosher. So what's going on? If he is she, the wife of Churgo, is standing in Bezdin against, we'll call him Yankel, right? So this testimony is not on Churgo, and we're not holding now Ishto Kebaila, it's on the wife of Churgo. Churgo is possible, and now Churgo has benefits that will accrue to him as a result of this Psak Din, meaning if let's say the testimony is that she wins against Yankala, then he has Peros of Nixay Maluk. He's not learning Din Udvarim, right? So the answer must be that we derive the conclusion that Karov Linogea is kosher. Now again, what does he mean by Karov Linogea? Right? He is... So the Chargo is Nogea, and his stepfather is a Karov to the Nogea. Correct? He's a Karov to the Nogea, but again, he's not testifying on his Karov. Just he's testifying on someone else, and his Karov will benefit from it. So the Karov, let's look at the Eidus itself as an abstract concept. The Eidus itself, on the one hand, is on Ishto, but on the other hand, the husband, in this case Chargo, is an Ogea B'Eidus. Let's put it this way. If this Eidus was coming not from the stepfather, but from the stepson himself, he would be possible for this Eidus. Why? Because he's going to get the benefits of the Nixay Malugi, he's going to eat the Peros, he's an Ogea B'Eidus. But now, he has relatives. What about his relatives? So the Eidus itself is not on the Karov, meaning it's not on Chargo or whatever Karov you'll come up with. The Karov himself be possible because he's an Ogea B'Eidus. It's almost as if we have a transitive law, if you follow what I'm saying. That's, I can't testify about in a case of someone who my karov would be posel. So I'm sort of like passing on the psul. And the answer is no, we don't say such a thing. Oh, v'tama dovar, let's see if we can add another dimension to this. The kosher lahoid, bira machne frayim, the krovim enom psulim mishum chashash meshaker. In other words, if the stepfather would be possible because he's going to lie, he's going to purge himself for the benefit of his karov, right, of his stepson, then in this case, he's choshed al hasheker. Why? Because again, he has vested interests, the stepfather, in beefing up his stepson, in improving the lot of his stepson. Right, if that's the nature of a psul karov, if that's the reason why a karov is psul, then in this case he has the same vested interest. Why? Because his stepson is a nogea b'eidus. Right, he's going to benefit from this eidus. So it should be irrelevant whether he's testifying in a case where the stepson himself is on the stand. Right, he's in the trial, or his stepson's wife is in the trial. In both cases, he should be possible for the same reason. Namely, that he has a chashash sheker. He has a chashash sheker, and that's why he's possible to testify in a case where his stepson is on trial. And now, he has the same vested interest to testify against the wife of the his stepson, because his stepson is going to inherit the Nixay Malug. I don't mean that literally, but Ella, why is the karov possible? Mishum gzeres hakosuv. Hilkach, heichad. Now we look at the gufa edus. Is the edus on the karov? If the edus is on the karov, then the Torah says for some strange reason it's possible. But if the Eidus is not on the Karov, the fact that it's no gear to the Karov, and the Karov will benefit from it, that doesn't make me possible to testify on someone. Imagine the following. Let's say you're my first cousin. Okay, Steve, you don't mind if I use... You're my first cousin, and I can't testify. Let's say Shani B'Shani is possible. But you have a business partner. Okay, we'll call him Yankel. So Yankel is your business partner. Yankel's on trial in a monetary case. I can't testify if you're on trial. But I'm testifying about him. Now, if he clears his record, so to speak, you gain...
Right.
And you're my first cousin as a partner in business. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just thinking that if not for the Machna Ephraim, who's medayik this from Rashi Nas Sugya, it's mind boggling because you know there are many krovim. So let's say we'll throw out a number. Let's say there are 20 krovim that I can't testify for or against. Right now. We're talking about the Krovim and their relatives, so we probably have to multiply that by 10. All right, so we're up to 200 people. I can't. But now, let's talk about all those Krovim and any Eidus which the Krovim will get benefit from. I mean, and you could think of a zillion scenarios where I gave you the case of partners, but you can, who knows? It's endless. And that would expand the psul karov to include any eidus where my karov gets benefit from that eidus, even though my karov is not involved in the case. No one's suing you. So he says, no, the din is not like that. But I'm just saying, you know, I'm wondering about this havamina. You know, this would multiply the circle of psulim by 200, which we said was a number like 200. Multiply it by another 200. You know, you have 4,000. I don't know. There would be I'm thinking to myself, you know, let's say I'm Masada Kedushin. So the first thing I ask the Eidim are you related to the Chassan, to the Kala? Are you related to the Kala's father? Are you related to each other? Are you related? I ask all these questions. But imagine if I would have to ask him, is there some Karov of yours who will gain by this marriage, by this Ksuva? I mean, forget it. I don't even begin to know how I would investigate, how I get the answer to that question. I don't even think the Eidim could give me an answer to that question.
His father's the caterer.
Yeah, that's right. Let's say he's the caterer. So again, what he's coming up with is that the psul of Karov is not a chashek. Which again, I would have said that even before I saw this essay. As I always ask you, that I've asked you many times, Moshe and I have come to testify together, that apostle, I don't believe they're lying, there's no chash sheker. Again, it becomes a little bit more tricky if Moshe and Aaron, or let's say if Moshe is testifying about Aaron or vice versa, right? That already smacks of a chash sheker. But he's telling me no. A person would not perjurize himself even for his closest relative. A son is testifying for his father. We have every reason to believe he may be even testifying against his father. Why shouldn't we trust him? Gzeiras hakos. Because if it's not a gzeiras hakos, then you have to passel the son for eidus on his father, even if his father's not on trial, but his father will gain something from the ruling of the child. So that's what I got out of this so far. Do we have another few minutes? Let's see if we can fit in another paragraph here. So again, Rabbi Osei, I'm not telling you I understand all the nuances of this sugya. There are obviously many other dimensions of this sugya, but at least I think we got something out of it. So if you know, I asked you for permission, so I hope you're not angry at me for learning this. Vehinei beikar apsul benogea. Oh, let's go back to nogea itself. Like, let's say if the chargo was testifying about his wife's ksuba against Yankel, why is he posel? And that itself is not so clear. According to the Shach and the Sma, he's posel because he's choshed l'shaker, right? He has, you know, the chargo is not going to get to eat the peros of these nixay malug. Ulam das halavush dinogea, and I think we've touched upon this before. Ain't no choshed l'shaker. You know, every person has a cheskas kashrus that he would never chas v'sholom, you know, falsify his testimony in front of a bezdin, and that applies even to a nogea. Ella what? He's a posel midin karov, because he's related to himself, right? And he's on trial as well. But now we're saying that even a karov is not a chashash sheker. So if a person cannot testify when the testimony is relevant to himself because he's a karov, then it has nothing to do with a chashash sheker, because a karov is not kosher al sheker. So hence we understand the levush. So if we put the levush together with the machne Ephraim, then we begin to make sense out of what sounds, you know, intuitively completely wrong, that a negeah b'dover is a separate gzeiras hakosev of a psul aguf, that he can't test. He's believed. He has all the credibility in the world, but he's negeah, and a negeah is possible. Which sounds so counterintuitive. I've agreed with the shach and the smah hands down. I mean, an ogeya is choshen al sheker. How can you trust him in this case, right? There's a $1 million lawsuit against me, and I'm going to testify. It doesn't make any bit of sense, right? But he's saying no. It's a din karov. No ogeya is possibly tam karov. Now add the machle frayim into the equation, and a karov itself is just a gzeiras hakosev. It's not a chash sheker. V'hine divrei machne frayim de karov. This I don't understand. That a karov to an ogea, right? That so it means that I'm testifying. Just 1 second. I always get this right. A karov to an ogea means that the stepson, if I understood correctly, the stepson is no geya because the nichsei malug, and the stepson is a karov of mine, right? So the stepfather wants to testify on behalf of the wife of his stepson, right? The wife of his stepson, and he's really in a sense testifying on a karov of the nogea, right? Because she is a karov of the nogea, correct? She. The word karov is a reference to the wife, right? She's a karov of her husband, right? Her husband, and he's nogea. And the stepfather wants to testify against her. When I say against, I mean the four against her. And she's not a karov of his, but she is the karov to his nogea, the karov of a nogea is kosher. Is osi shapir ledasa shachva sma, the nogea posel mitam chashash meshaker, avlo choshev baldin mishum hachi karov the nogea kosher liedus. I don't get it. I would have said that if there's a chashash sheker, then that should apply in the karov to the nogea, right? Because just like I would purge myself on behalf of the ben, if the ben is going to gain, then the same chashash sheker should apply to the wife of the ben because he's nogea. So I'm not sure what he means. Yavol im neima de nogea posel mitam baldin. That's the levush. Is havilon lememar. The karov linogea posul mitnei chashiv karov lebaldin. Just 1 second. If we're going to say that karov is considered what? A baldin. Right? So now he's testifying on the wife of the karov. And therefore what? Therefore there's a psul of baldin over here? What does he mean by this? Aval inema dinogea posul mitam baldin is havilon lememar the karov linogea posul. Why should a karov linogea be posul? In other words, the wife is a karov of the nogea, and the nogea is what is considered a baldin, and therefore I can't testify on her because I don't get it. I would say an ogea is only a baldin if he's on trial, I wouldn't say that everybody or anybody who gains or loses as a result of this din is considered a baldover. I mean, what do you mean a baldover? Baldover is, you know, you have negias, I understand, but you're not on trial. How could you be considered a baldover? Mipnei dechashiv karov lebaldover. That she's a karov to a baldover because her husband is a baldover. What makes her husband a baldover? He's an ogel eidus. He gets benefit from this eidus. And if he gets benefit from the eidus, the levush says that he's a baldover. But again, I would have said that he's only a baldover if he's on trial. I don't know, just because, you know, what we're going to say, the whole welt, you know, anyone in the world who gets benefit is considered a baldover. I don't know. Okay, we'll stop here. And whatever we did, we did. I mean, unfortunately, I don't get the punchline here. I would have said fakeret, that according to the Shach and the Sma, we should say in this case that he's possible because there's a chash sheker vis-a-vis the ben by the chorgo, then it should be a chash sheker in a case where the ben chorgo is going to get benefits from it. And faker, if you go like the levush, that it's only a psul baldover and it's not a chash sheker, then why can't he testify on his wife? I don't know. I would have said just the opposite. So I'm just telling you what I would have said.